All right, folks, our next program here is the Remote Production Workflows, Advantages and Opportunities. And our two speakers are Arco Dronenberg and Luis Munoz.
Yeah, you can clap, that's fine. It's going to be interesting, since I'm from the Netherlands, let's see if this Enco thing can translate all my weird English. You know, it's a good test for them as well. Anyway, I'm Arco Dronenberg. I work with LiveView, and this is my partner in crime, the smart guy. His name is Luis Munoz.
Yep, yeah, it's nice to meet you guys.
So today, you want to advance the slides? So today we want to talk to you guys about remote production, some workflows, you know, some opportunities for you guys as well. We'll try to keep it very general. You can ask questions later, but I think our goal today is to really give you an idea of what the opportunities are, you know, what some of our customers have done, and what the options are. So really more of a broad spectrum in terms of, just giving you some ideas, and then I'd say try them out, and you know, that makes your job fun as well. So in terms of, in terms of remote production, there's many ways you can do remote production. You know, you can drive out a vehicle, you can use a flight pack, you can use a hire a production service. You know, you can use a remote studio. So there's a lot of different ways to skin this cat. Okay. But there's a lot of new workflows around that actually allows you to cover more events, you know, specifically with IP, right? You can use your current studio, and of course you can use the cloud, and I'm sure you've heard that word, you know, many times in the past few days, okay? But the cool thing is about working with IP, it does give you a lot of new options, you know, to do like news road shows. So we have customers that now take the news desk on the road, and you know, they do like a fall series or a semi-series and stuff, and they really don't need that much resources for it. And it's interesting for the viewer, and it's really helped them. You know, sports, we all love sports, right? Fairs, local events, you know, holiday stuff, special event, you know, big trade shows. So we just did a lot of work at the auto show in Detroit, which was a lot different this year. And we'd encourage you to, you know, you can use the tools you have, right? You don't need to go invest a ton of money. You know, utilize new tech, maybe combine it, you know, or as well, I think what people forget, you can build this over time as well, right? So you can start slow, really do the proof of concept, make your general manager happy, drive some revenue in it for him or her, and then, you know, build that out. So a lot of our customers or a lot of people we work with, you know, they started pretty slow, they tested some things, and now they're building it out and they're reaping the rewards, okay? So in terms of IP solutions, you know, what are the benefits? You know, you can basically do a REMI, you know, a remote production using IP, right? But you have other options now in terms of you can use cellular, you can use satellite still, and you can use Ethernet and Wi-Fi, right? Luis, maybe you want to quickly talk about the marathon we did this week in Chicago.
So we had a marathon, or obviously in Chicago there was a big marathon. Where they had, I don't know what the count of people were, but there was a ton of people. They had so Verizon had their millimeter wave cell towers, a few millimeter wave cell towers, and they had one of our LU800 packs, which has four inputs, so you can put four cameras on that encoder. So the idea is to be able to have multiple cameras, multiple angles. At that venue, and the idea is to be able to get those four streams simultaneously sent out from that particular event out and be able to stream it. So without having to have a whole group of a whole production crew out at the facility. All they had was just four cameras. The four camera people that basically had their cameras or their cameras connected to the live view units. On the live view unit, there's eight inputs on it, right? There's eight inputs. Oh, I'm sorry, four inputs on the pack here. So they had the four cameras going into this, and they were able to stream that out and send it to the station. Once they were at the station, they were able to transmit that and switch between those four, and they were able to add obviously the graphics and such. So they were able to do that via the millimeter wave. So once you have that, I think it was they were saying they were getting a good solid 60 megs of data simultaneously. So you had the four cameras. And they had absolutely no problems. It was up and down 60 megs, so they had plenty of bandwidth. You really only need about, depending on your what video you're sending out, you really only need about 5 to 10 megs, right? Depending on again, if you have a bunch of cars that are moving quickly, then you probably want to have a little bit higher megs. But if you're just talking heads, then you're probably going to be just fine with 3 to 4 megs. So, but anyway, so we had in this particular case, they had I think they said they had 15 megs per channel, and then they were able to get that out to the station. So that's one of the ways that they were able to utilize, and that was just a Wi-Fi connection or an Ethernet connection, a Wi-Fi connection, or like you said, you can also do with 5G, you can also have multiple packs simultaneously from a connection.
Yeah. And also more cost effective. So with that, it gives you choices. So let's say with this event, if Verizon wanted to sponsor that and say, hey, we'll give you a millimeter wave modem and you get the bandwidth from us, right? You can do that. Or, maybe bringing your satellite truck out there is more cost effective, or maybe just using cellular. So it does give you a little bit more options in terms of, your connectivity, right? Now, there are venues where, all of a sudden, sometimes around elections where in the stadium or big events, they want to charge, quite a lot and, triple the price of normal. So the working with IP does give you that flexibility in terms of weighing off what you need and then also the cost related to that, okay? It obviously requires less resources in the field, but also in the studio, because let's say if you use your existing production in your broadcast center, everything is already in place. You don't need to go run cables. It doesn't necessarily mean you need less people. You could do that, but I think we're all, the trend we see as well, especially at TV stations, there's less resources and, they got to do the job of two people and they got to do more. You even see that with the field people, they got to do a lot more jobs at the same time, okay? And again, as well, it also allows you to cover more events, thus, potentially drive more revenue, and also select what event you want to do and see what makes sense, okay? So, if it's a Thanksgiving parade that generates, $1 million in ad revenue or $500,000, you might want to have a different setup for that than, maybe a high school baseball game, right? In terms of, importance for you or revenue associated to. Doesn't mean that a baseball game is less important, but it might not drive the same revenue, okay? And again, as we've said, you can utilize your current broadcast center in terms of graphics, switching, communications, and again, if you have a flight pack or a production vehicle, of course you can use that as well. So there's many ways to do it, the other thing is with cloud and some of the solutions we offer in IP, it's also more flexible on a seasonal level. So, if you're, let's say, with the elections coming up, we do a decent amount of rentals, right? So if you need an extra unit or you have extra production needs, you can expand that pretty easily. But at the same time, you can just run that for a month and then just move on, with your current work. So you can set it up a little bit easier for seasonality, right? Where if you If you go buy a big production vehicle now, right, the insurance is always there, the maintenance is always there. I mean, some of that cost is just stays there, okay? And again, you can actually invest in new solutions. They're actually probably a lot more affordable than most people think. You know, you can start with a little encoder. You know, it doesn't need, you know, if you have fixed locations, you can just start doing IP, you know, using Ethernet if you know you have that. So there's some good entry points that get people used to the technology, and then they can build it out. So everybody does it a little bit differently. But the nice thing is it does give you a lot of flexibility in terms of, you know, which path you want to choose. And, you know, some of you in here, we work with, you know, already doing some of this. So it gives you a lot of options. So we just want to show you a little diagram, and then Louise will take you through this, kind of on the workflow of what we typically see. Again, this can vary a little bit, but this is, you know, a pretty typical flow in terms of, you know, what we see with our clients.
Exactly. So basically, if we're starting off over on the far left is basically where you're starting you're shooting your camera, your video, right? The way that bonded cellular works, depending on whether you're using cellular, Wi-Fi, Ethernet connections, all of that, you can use them all if you'd like as well. So the nice thing about that is you basically connect your camera, would connect to the encoder, right? So you have an encoder at the field, and then you'll at the station side or at you would have a decoder, right? So you've got an encoder and a decoder. So once you have the encoder, these encoders can have, you know, this particular one has 6 cell phone modems on it. So 2 AT&T, 2 T-Mobile, and 2 Verizon. You could also have, like I was saying, you could also utilize Wi-Fi, Ethernet connections. So depending on how much redundancy you want to built into your system here, you could actually utilize them all. You could utilize also what we call least cost bonding. So you could have, as an example, you'd have your Ethernet connection and your Wi-Fi. You could have the system utilize that first, so that way, if you know, and have your cell phone data usage and use that last. In the event that it is an emergency, the system will automatically kick in and utilize that. But you'll have, let's say for example, you have the 6 modems, and then you have the 2 Ethernet connections, and you also have a Wi-Fi. So now you're talking 6, 7, 8, perhaps different connections. So what we have our protocols, it's called LRT, right? That's how we basically utilize the communication. So we'll basically chop it up in bits. And then each one of the connections will send out data, right? So at the station end, you have the decoder. So that decoder is going to go up on the internet, and it's going to actually access those and start basically splice the video together. So that's essentially, you know, you could have, depending on your latency on the units here, as an example, if you have Ethernet only, you can have like a 0.4 second latency, right? Now, if you have, you know, start using cellular, not 5G, you know, you're probably the shortest is going to be maybe a second or a second and a half. So depending on what type of connection you're going to have, but basically you have all your connections, and then it's going to go over all your data is going to get passed on, right? And then it goes either through your cell phone service or whatever it is, the Wi-Fi, Ethernet, basically takes it all to the internet, right? Then we have basically it's that's kind of the travel here. So you have your cameras to your encoder, then it goes out to the internet, right? Once it's on the internet, we have our decoder that's going to actually decode that signal, and then you're able to take that as an SDI output, right? So we also have what we call Cloud Connect, right? So you could basically, many of you are familiar with Matrix. Matrix basically allows you to think of it as a cloud, a cloud-based router, right? So you got the video, your stream. So instead of sending content out through the satellite, or you know, through you basically use a Matrix to actually get video out and distribute it out to any type of distribution. So those are all the different types of distribution platforms that we utilize there. Once it's there at either on the cloud, once it's on the cloud, you can actually distribute it out worldwide, right? But the second box there is showing you the actual decoder. That's going to have the SDI outputs. So those SDI outputs, you basically send those outputs. If you're sending four streams from your pack, from your encoder, you'll have the four outputs. And you'll have four output individual SDI outputs. Send those to your switcher, and then you could run all that through your graphics, add whatever it is you need, and then output that out and broadcast that out. You could also have each individual stream. Let's say, for example, you want to have that output, like a switched output, and so you could send that out simultaneously to a CDN, Facebook, YouTube, your website, or whatever it is. So you not only have that output of an SDI output, but you're also going to have, like I said, a CDN, or you send it out to a CDN, SRT, or whatever format you want to send out. You can send that out simultaneously as well. But basically, that's kind of the workflow there. I think that's pretty much it on the workflow.
You can also control it from central.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's another thing is these are not only can you control them from the unit itself. You could also obviously control them remotely. You can also switch it. So this has in this particular case, you have the four inputs, the four cameras. You could actually switch or use this this particular encoder as a like a clean switch, right? So you could pick between the four cameras and switch whichever camera you want and send that one. Let's say, for example, if you have a limited bandwidth, right? So you can only send a single stream at a time. You can actually pick and choose what stream you want to send out and send out, or you could send out one, two, three, or four cameras simultaneously, depending on what your workflow is. But all that can be done and controlled remotely as well.
Yeah, and even with some of the smaller units, you know, we also have customers, I think, like we said before, they have a small flight pack, or a little field switcher, and then they can even just use the small one just to actually send the signal back to the broadcast facility.
And then so. there's others, not necessarily only the backpacks, but you also have, there's a smart device, it's what we call LU Smart, which is basically your cell phone, so there's an app that you can use from your phone. So if for example you're one of the engineers that's out and there's an event that happens, you can actually use your phone and actually stream the video out to the station and get capture video of whatever event that you have there. Some of the customers have actually utilized the what we call LU Smart licenses for like high school games. So you send out your licenses to a high school. High school kids and have them shoot video for you. And now you have you have unlimited licenses. You can send out multiple games, so you don't have your news reporter or your sports reporter having to go to each individual game. They could actually have somebody shoot the video for you, and they'll send the video right back to your studio, and then you could actually edit the video and do whatever it is you need. And so you basically have more feet on the ground, and those high school students that are shooting the video are thrilled to go out there and shoot that video for you. For free a lot of times. So there's a lot of times, and that's many of the customers have actually done stuff like that. We're able to get the video footage in from any specific game or whatever.
Cool. In terms of field collaboration, of course it's important as well. It the one thing that's, of course, if you produce remote, communication is a little bit different, right? You're not shouting at somebody that sits next to you, or you can't talk to somebody in the truck. They still use comms. So as we said, we can control everything actually via a browser. We have a phone app for it as well. So with a lot of this remote production now, you have a lot of control even back in the broadcast facility in terms of setting up latency, checking bandwidth, make sure the health of the unit is good, even up to the point where you can check if there's battery life is enough, so if maybe the power goes out and it's a longer event. So you have a lot of checkpoints as well through this cloud platform actually. Bidirectional audio and video communication, that's always very important, right? So people use all kinds of stuff, Clearcom, Trinity, so there's lots of solutions there as well. You can do it through LiveView as well, but you know, it's really important as well, especially when you do these remote IP events, you know, to make sure that the communications are correct, both for audio and video. So that's, you know, video return often. You know, if you have a presenter there, right, they want to see the, you know, how they look on television, or maybe a prompter, you know, or all kinds of other information. So so that's the video return. It's, again, it's important that these field crews, you know, also have visibility, okay?
Yeah, so that video return signal gives you about a 450 millisecond latency. So whatever you're, so if you got program video out at the studio or at the station, and you're sending video return, you can actually see the video return. You actually plug that into an HDMI output monitor. You can actually see the, you know, if you have a talkback with an anchor, as an example, right? You have an interview, and the anchor could speak, and actually you're actually within a second, you'll be able to hear and actually communicate back and forth with each other. So basically, the idea is to minimize that pause that you see when you're watching a newscast, right? You'll have the reporter kind of waiting, you know, for several seconds, waiting for the to actually hear it from their IFB audio or whatever, right? So it's, the idea is to kind of minimize any type of latency to basically keep that as tight as possible.
And then the other thing that's always important is, you know, we like to talk about workflow management planning, you know, execution, and also redundancy. So whatever you do, and I'm sure your production crews are used to, right, it does require planning. You know, do I need a permit, right? Do I have power? You know, is there a backup plan? We actually did an event with a client in San Antonio, and I don't know, it was like, I think, some Mexican street fest. So one of the food vendors, I think, managed to plug something in wrong, and all the power went, you know, and okay, what do we do now? So it's all, you know, with all these events, right, planning is critical, you know, making sure that the teams know, you know, what's expected. And especially, I would encourage you, if you use newer technology, is really do a few proof of concepts, right? But, you know, it's not that you just turn this thing on and it goes, right? So planning, you know, making sure everybody's on the same page is always critical, no matter what you do. And again, I think we've talked about this a little bit, but Luis can talk about it as well, right? And then, you know, making sure you have all your tools in place to make this a success. So, you know, it's important to communicate, right, to verify with this audio and video, make sure people know they're on air, tele, for example. You know, we can actually control, you can now, through IP, easily control PTZ cameras, so maybe you have a wide shot somewhere at an event. You can even control the camera CCUs, and also actually drive data back and forth. So with the local broadcast events, we don't see it, but our sports team, they just did a, they work with a company where it actually sends real-time data back from the field. So they can run stats, they can see the speed of the car, they can see which gear it's in and all that kind of good stuff. So bringing data back sometimes is important as well, if you want to run stats and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so one example of that usage is you have those four cameras, right? So you have, you could have those four cameras at a remote location. You could actually control those from the studio. So you'd have this has an actual Ethernet connection on it. So we can use what we call IP pipe. Right, so IP pipe allows you to have a connection, just in, like basically a pipe. It's a 1 meg, 2 meg, 3 meg pipe connection to be able to for control. So you can actually control. So you'd have your PTZ cameras, and you have a switch, and plug that switch into this, and then that can, at the station side, you'd have your actual server, and it's, as long as it's on the same network with your controller, we can actually connect that pipe. And with that pipe, you can actually utilize to be able to, you plug your PTZ cameras into this, you'd actually be able to not only stream those cameras, but also control those via this one pack, right? So that's kind of one of the things. Now with this IP pipe workflow that we're talking about, some people have actually even gotten a little creative. As an example, you can use that because it is a one meg connection. What they did when they were out at weather guys, there was a team of weather team that were chasing storm chasers. So they had a backpack. They enabled the IP pipe connection. So with that IP pipe, again, it's a 1 meg, 2 meg, 3 meg connection. So if they were out in the middle of nowhere where they had, because they typically have like a Verizon MiFi or whatever it is, but they were in an area where there was absolutely no connection for Verizon, right? Well, these, remember, you have Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T. They had plenty of bandwidth for, I think it was AT&T or whatever it was. So what they did is they used that 1 meg connection to be able to get a connection to their laptops, and they were streaming the video, but at the same time they were actually getting the radar and actually using that connection to get the radar, the graphics, you know, whatever it is that they needed to be able to get that via that 1 meg, 2 meg, 3 meg stream from IP pipe while they're still also being able to stream. So there's a lot of, so, you know, it's an opportunity to kind of get creative and utilize the tools that you have. As Arco was saying, you want to be able to, you know, what you have here, you have a good, strong tool. The idea is to kind of use that to your advantage, right? So.
Yeah, and you can, even if things are on a distance, you can even use two or three encoders, and you don't always have to use the four inputs. You can also use two, three, four encoders, and then stream those separately, and it will sync it up. So if you do a marathon or, you know, something that's more spread out, right, you might not want to run all the cable and all the challenges that come with that. So. Yep. But there's a lot of tools right now, and I think that there's a lot of tools that can help you with the remote production, okay? And then I think we always hammer just don't forget stuff, right? It's you know, because sometimes this technology in general has gotten a lot better. I think connectivity has gotten a lot better. I mean, For those in the room that have been using bonded cellular, maybe, or cellular technology for a year or 10, you know, or however long it's been around, you know, it was a little bit more painful in the beginning than it is right now. So there's more towers, there's better connectivity. You know, you always deal with, you know, if there's 60,000 people and they're all on the phone, right, the math doesn't change on that. So. So again, make sure, you know, you look at your power resources, right? Really look at where the event is, right? Is it, you know, is it a remote fixed studio? You know, are there going to be 100,000 people at a college game? You know, if the Pope is coming into town or the president, you know, maybe somebody from the FBI shuts down some networks and make sure they don't work, right? It does happen. So those are all things, you know, we encourage you to look at. And also, I'm sure you guys and girls are familiar with it, you know, where's the location, right? Are there restrictions? Can you park there? Do you need permits? And then we're always happy to consult, to help you test, to do a POC. You know, there's lots of technology out to do that. Of course, we think we do it best, but you know, we really encourage people to kind of sometimes make the jump and use the technology, and the feedback we get is like, oh, this actually went a lot better than we thought it would go. So there's always some hesitation, but, you know, we see people that adopt the technology, no matter in what way, gain a lot of benefits from it, okay? The other area we want to talk about is unavoidable, is cloud. And cloud production, right? So, you know, this through COVID, you know, I think was accelerated greatly, a little quicker in terms of adaption and people looking at this. So, you know, there's actually LiveView acquired a company called EasyLive, but Grass Valley, Viz, Grabio, Blackbird, you know, there's many solutions out there right now that offer cloud platforms. It's not the be-all of end-all, right? You know, it's a bit of a different workflow. Where I see benefits is there's actually some very cost-effective cloud switching solutions. You know, the one we acquired is one of it. So it actually allows you. And you can rent those for a week for an event. You can pay them per hour. So for smaller events, the advantage is you know, maybe you don't want to tie your large control room on, you know, for that, or maybe you've got a newscast going on, or you know, you have other things going on, right? So it allows you to, for example, do secondary events that maybe are a little bit less revenue, but it gives you more flexibility. We also have customers that do some remote stuff with journalists in terms of, you know, building a video podcast and everything. So you know, there's new protocols out there, like NDI, SRT, right, that make it actually pretty easy, or you know, pretty simple to connect all this gear. In the good old days, you know, it was always a struggle to connect, you know, all these vendors said, you know, we can work together, and it was a little harder. So it's actually not that difficult anymore to get an IP signal from one location, you know, into those cloud platforms these days. So there's actually good benefits. Again, you don't have to throw everything away you have. You can use your existing tool, but it's good to start looking at this if you do a lot of production, because there are a good amount of benefits, you know, for it. But again, it's you know, whatever you feel comfortable with it. But I would encourage you to at least look at it and do some research on it and get educated.
Yeah, some of the actual applications that we've actually utilized or come up with, one of them as an example is what we call air control. So where you're actually able to utilize your own tools that you actually have, like your phone. Your laptop, as an example, and turn that into your encoder, right? So instead of what basically air control is kind of think of it as a replacement for Zoom, Skype, WebEx, and so forth. So what air control does is essentially ties together your laptop or your phone, and actually it's just a matter of sending a link to that person. Let's say, for example, you have a guest, and you have a guest and there's not, you know, you don't have a backpack to send to that guest. We're utilizing a cloud platform to be able to send them a link, and from there they're able to send that on a higher quality video instead of Zoom or Skype or whatever, and you're sending that into your existing live view decoders, right? So it's just, think of, some of you already know Matrix and LU Central, so it's kind of the cross of LU Central and Matrix, where you're able to have a guest, and you have several guests, and you actually communicate with them via the Audio Connect, again using the cloud as well. You're able to connect and communicate back and forth between those individual guests, and actually just simply drag and drop right into whatever receiver you have. So that's one of the new tools that we've used. Another one is what we call LiveView Ingest. LiveView Ingest essentially is LiveView Ingest. So you're able to ingest anything that you're getting, any content, and actually you're actually able to take it into the server, an ingest server, and actually search through it. So for example, if you have a live shot or whatever, you want to be able to cut a segment out of something, so you can actually do an edit of something while you're at it. You can actually do that all through these little things. So basically what I'm getting at is it's a matter of embracing the cloud platforms that we're using, and that's really what it's all about here.
Yeah, and then, like I said, if you watch Monday Night Football with the Mannings, you know, it's kind of fun. So they just sit at home, and same thing, they kind of use that. So with some of these, you know, remote apps, you can do that as well. Okay, next one, we'll stay on track. The other thing is also through IP, it's also a lot easier to actually distribute this content, right? So another way that you know, we have our customers monetize it is actually distribute this to maybe other stations, other platforms. You know, we've done, I think we've even done with some of our customers here, some seasonal hockey tournaments, right, where they just distribute it for a month through IP. You know, and we can also share this content with like Encompass, LTN. So in terms of, you know, Luis talked about Matrix a little bit, right? You know, there's a lot of IP distribution platforms out there. So with this remote production as well, as a bonus on top of it, you know, instead of sending it through the good old satellite, right, you have actually a lot more flexibility to share this content, you know, with other platforms. Sometimes that can drive revenue, or it just makes it easier to collaborate as well, okay? And it's pretty easy to use, and again, you know, some people have it on a subscription basis, but you can also, you know, rent this on a seasonal basis, and actually, again, you know, drive some flexibility in terms of how you want to distribute the content, okay? And then thanks for your time. We hope we didn't, you know, nobody fell asleep. So that's good. So any questions, and hopefully we'll give you an answer.
I know that you mentioned that you guys have like an app for the phone, for yep. any phone. What are like the minimum requirements for that? Like, do you have to have a certain version or above, or I guess?
Yeah, so we have when you download the app, there's actually an about you can actually click on, and it'll take you to a little basically a document that gives you all the supported phones. So it's basically a kind of a newer device, really. It's you know, I think iPhone 7 and above. So it's kind of the, you know, we do Android or iOS. So they're all pretty much supported. But yeah, that'll have a list of all the of what is supported and tested.
Yeah. And we have some tips as well. Of course, you need some cell coverage, right? During COVID, we actually had people on their phones, and then it's like when you fall asleep at night watching Netflix and you wake up and your phone is pretty hot, you know, an hour later. So you do still have to pay attention, you know, there's some overheating sometimes, you know, that's my own experience. I haven't burned down my house yet, but yeah, so, but you know, it is another tool again where you could bring in a guest, and it does give you some options as well, you know, using other devices, okay? I mean, again, you know, the cameras are pretty good on a phone, but if you do sports or other things, right, it doesn't replace a 14x zoom lens on a real camera, right? So it's yeah. We did an MBA one, an MBA summer one with they did it only with phones and 5Gs, and it was this promo thing with AT&T. You know, with a lot of moving stuff, I found it a little hard to watch sometimes. You know, you kind of had to get used to it. So again, it just, you know, but if you're just doing a one-on-one interview or you want to bring in a guest, you know, it's you know, laptop or phone is fine. So
I have a question for I'm with the caption product here, and so we have more customers that are doing streaming only, right? And so like converting at the moment SDI to some MPEG stream or something, and they're finding quite a lot of variety in transmission gear, as far as some gear is able to see caption data and pass it through to the CDN and then off to the endpoints, and not all of it does. Some brands do, and some are firmware update away from doing that. Kind of, how do you guys see that? Because a lot of folks don't think about captions as much. It's kind of a small right. thing compared to audio and video, but.
Right, I think the newer stuff is like RTMP doesn't support caption, is my understanding. I could be wrong, but I think you know, it so that's kind of the downside. There's you know, we actually passed that along. It's the matter of the whatever decoding platform that you're using that's going to be, and so unfortunately there's not a whole lot that are supporting it yet, but like I said, it's all embedded in the audio and video, so it should be supported, but obviously it's going to really depend.
Yeah, and in general, we, on the SDI, we always pass the captioning along, or if we would distribute it to Matrix, you know, same thing, we pass it along. But when we go to a CDN, Yeah, there are solutions in between.
Yeah, but, a lot of times it'll just get stripped out.
And it is required, so.
Yeah, we noticed that sometimes they have to go dig through a bunch of menus to get to a drop-down, and then now it works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, NDI still doesn't support it. We hope one day they do, and of course SRT I think does, and ST2110 does, but it's
right.
There's a lot of variations out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We mainly RTMP we do for the streaming, but we do support NDI and SRT. But again, you know, we're also not hostets, right? But in general with SDI we do pass it through.
Cool.
So.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. And captioning is important.
First off, I was going to say we switched your product, I don't know what's it been, 8-10 months, and it's been a lifesaver. We have a failing uplink, or old uplink, old encoder, and one failed uplink could pay for a third of the unit we bought. So it's been great for us. Two questions. You mentioned you can... does LTN pick this up? Because you mentioned they have, so they have a live.
Yeah, so through Matrix Dynamic Share, right? We actually work with LTN, the switch, and Compass, so it's nice. So they have live view servers. We actually just did a deal with a satellite company, and so basically, you know, they transmit to satellites. What are they called again? We already had some customers in Canada use it, and then they have, you know, live view gear, and they redistribute it through IP. So there's a lot more flexibility there. So for example, if you have an event and you want to send it through LTN, you can actually send it through them through your live view. And the advantage is if you don't have LTN gear, you don't need to bring in older gear or rent it. So you know, from a cost perspective. And dynamic share, actually, we not to get too much into an ad, we offer 30 minutes for free. So if you have small segments, it's like a Zoom call. And for most events, it's like $125. You know, to rent, it's $300. But for existing customers, we do it a little bit more cost effective. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, actually.
Okay, that does, because I know some customers have said, do you have LTN? Obviously, we have LiveView now. So that gives us another option. The second question is, FEC, do you have any forward error correction on this? Because, I mean, we've never had any problem. I'm just curious. You got the low latency. Do you have any error correction?
It's built into the LRT protocol that we use, that you have that error correction. So, yeah, so with the, you know, when you're using Ethernet connection, the latency is going to be less, right? So you could have like a 0.4 second latency. So there is definitely some error correction that's built into the LRT protocol. So yes, answer is yes.
Yeah, and we can also change the latency actually on the fly. So if you, let's say if you had somebody monitoring your bandwidth and something happens, you can actually move the latency as well, right? Now, that depends as well on what kind of event you're doing, right? You know, on an interview, you don't really want a lot of latency, right? But you know, if you got something that is moving and you know the viewer won't really notice it, then you can get build in some flexibility there.
Cool. Thank you, Arco and Luis.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.